Good afternoon. It is 12:35 and you're listening to Bro Business. I'm Olivia Rose, and today's live call-in show that will be focusing on the ballot proposition in Petersburg's October 7th municipal election. So it's a bit different today. Voting yes on this proposition would change Petersburg's senior sales tax exemption so that only low-income seniors qualify for it. And joining us in the studio here today is Roxanne Stafford and Glow Wolin and Jody Tao. How's it going, everyone?
Good.
Great. Thanks for being here. And thank you to everyone who submitted questions to us over the last week or so, including this morning. And of course, if you're listening and have a question, you can call our station at 907-772-3808. All right, we can get into it. I guess, Jody, you know this. You are the brains behind the numbers here. You're the borough finance director. So as we dig in, I just will preface us, like, the revenue from Petersburg's, it's a 6% sales tax.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So that helps fund, like, local services, like public safety and infrastructure.
So yeah, all of the general fund departments. So we have the public safety, we have schools. Those are the two biggest ones, Parks and Rec, library. And yeah, those are the largest ones. Some community services and community development, and of course public works is also a large one, maintaining our roads.
Mm-hmm. And officials kind of say the borough, you would say, like, we're facing financial strain as service costs rise and sales tax revenue declines?
Yeah, so, you know, we've noticed over time that sales tax revenue has not been increasing very much this year. It actually went down, less than 1%, but it going down is a really big red flag for us. And we've also had a lot of increase in expenses besides the normal inflation and insurance costs. In fiscal year 23, the school had received, the borough gives the school money to operate every year, and in fiscal year 23, it was $2 million. And then the next year, they asked for $3 million. And part of this request was because the state is not funding or keeping up with funding for the school as they should. So the borough has been stepping in to fill in that gap. And so there's also some state and federal revenue going down. Community revenue sharing. 10 years ago, we were getting over $500,000, and now we're getting about half of that. 10 years ago, actually 2 years ago, we were getting about $600,000 in national forest receipts, and in June, our fiscal year 25 payment was $29,000. And we use this money to fund almost a third of our school payment. And so, and we had been luckily stockpiling this money for a while, and so we've been able to try to wean off of that, but we need to increase our revenue somehow. And since sales tax hasn't been increasing, we have been forced to increase property taxes a little bit. And also, you know, we tried to help sales tax revenue last year by putting the sales tax cap on the ballot to increase that from $1,200 to $5,000, but that failed by 6 votes. And so we are now looking at other ways. And I know a lot of people ask, well, you should just cut, but these are huge increases. We cannot cut $1 million somewhere else to fund the school an extra $1 million. So, you know, we're looking at all these different steps that we can take, and this is just one of them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, residents say they feel the pinch too, and we have a couple of residents also here in the studio with us, and so I just also want to give you guys a chance to chime in. Roxanne and Glow, you're both here. Feel free to chime in whenever you want if you have a question right now.
Well, I just think that, you know, what Jody's brought up are very significant numbers and examples of why this needs to be looked at. Everybody has to put their shoulder into the wheel. And we had 45 years of an entitlement program that, you know, a lot of people benefited from, but it's unsustainable. The numbers are just increasing so much, so fast. And that demographic is really, gone from 6% when it was implemented in the 80s, early 1980s, to over 25% of our population. And those numbers are just, we can't sustain that. And so we're hoping that, you know, Jody put forth a really, I believe, a responsible ordinance where we looked at giving the benefit to those people that really need it. And I think that I'm very proud of what she did. And I think that is a good way for people to meet the assembly, meet our local governance in a halfway point of looking out for those people that really need it and then taking a responsibility for putting shoulders into the wheel.
Mm-hmm. And kind of off of that, Glow, Jody, I guess let's define low income for folks listening at home that might not have this ordinance right in front of them, who might be curious, like, okay, this group of people who would be eligible.
So the proposition says that if you qualify for the senior benefit program with the state of Alaska, you could get the senior tax exemption. So if an individual makes less than $34,213 this year, they would be eligible. And if a married couple makes less than $26,253, they would be eligible as well. And you can find more...
$46,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can find more information about this on the State of Alaska website, but we have also created a link on the borough's website. So if you... when you go into www.pearsburgak.gov, you go to the very top of the screen and it says elections. You click on that and then there's a lot more information. And we've also added a study done by an individual with the Department of Labor that, you have that one, yeah. Some Eric Sandberg. He wrote an article, it's really interesting, about senior population in Alaska. And I created a link for that too. And what was interesting about it is, and it was recent, it was in March, mm-hmm. Southeast Alaska has the highest concentration of seniors in Alaska by far. And Petersburg is one of the top four communities that has the highest, over 25%. Haines being number one with 29%. He went on to say in this article that the senior it's growing. For another 10 years, the senior population will be growing. So that's something that we need to take and consider in the future.
How does Petersburg seniors' sales tax exemption compare to other Southeast communities?
Well, Wrangell doesn't have one. Juneau has one just for, I believe, food.
Food and utilities.
Yeah, well, our utilities are tax exempt for everyone now, so...
I've got the answer to that. There's 9 communities in Southeast, and of them, 6 do give it. Juneau for just changed theirs recently to food and utilities, and 3 in Southeast have none.
Got it. Rexanne came prepared.
Yeah.
So it's important that, yeah, utilities are exempt here in Petersburg. So we're just pretty much talking about...
But they are going up at the same time. They're going up at the same time that the tax is being taken away or proposed to be taken away. And that was kind of a double
whammy. Everybody, yeah.
Yes, but it's still a double impact them on the seniors who now have to pay that extra. I mean, it was poor timing, in my opinion.
I think there's never a good time to raise rates.
There's not.
Yeah.
And I noticed also in the ordinance, though, that, I mean, this change, it wouldn't affect existing sales tax exemptions for utilities, as we've been saying, or prescription or medical costs.
Those are already exempt for everybody, which is nice. Also, long-term rentals are also exempt from sales tax, which a lot of communities don't have, which is nice.
Another thing this does, is it true, it takes away that $100 fee that seniors usually pay to get their card?
It does take away that, and not all of seniors pay the $100 right now. If you're under a certain income level, you can get it for free.
I think there was 61 out of 477 that are in the poverty. I think that's the numbers you'd given before.
Yeah, that's the number. 61 is the number of people that qualify right now, or in 2000, 24 for the senior benefit program with the state of Alaska. I'm not sure how many take advantage of the not paying the $100. So
about 60 folks in Petersburg currently qualify for that, what we've been talking about,
but
that
I
state
think,
of Alaska senior benefits program that would kind of define that threshold.
Yeah, I think that there are some people, though, that would qualify that don't just bother doing it because it's paperwork, or maybe they need someone to help them, or just don't know about it, perhaps. And so, again, we have a link to that, too, on our website that people can go to and look up. And if you're 65 already and think that you might qualify, I would urge you to, you know, apply, because it does take a little bit of time.
Regardless of this proposition.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty healthy benefit. I mean, it really can help people, I think. That amount of money. I think it's $300, isn't it? Is the upper
end of it? The upper one. Yeah, 100 and some to 300.
Yeah,
I think.
So it can definitely offset a lot of costs.
But you have to be in the poverty level. State of Alaska poverty level, which is $34,000 a year for a single.
And I think I know a lot of younger people that are up against those numbers, you know, when you start talking $34,000 to $35,000 a year.
Most of those people are still eligible for Medicaid, though, whether they're above or below 65.
And there's a lot
of,
combined couples that are, you know, up against that $50,000 mark that also don't have, you know, the ability to get the state's offer as well as the local entitlement we have.
I've got a couple more questions on numbers here.
Sure.
So 24% of our population, we're now saying, is elderly out of 3,400 people.
Actually, it's over 25.
Okay. Yeah. So that's at 24%, it's 816 people out of 3,400 people. Mm-hmm. Only 477 of those people applied for cards. Now, I do understand some of them are spouses that use the same, or they can't use the same card, but they shop together. But I also know as many that each have their own card. So when you take the $400,000 that you say you're losing every year, which I don't doubt, and you divide it by 477, you get approximately $838 a year or $70 a month in taxes, which means each cardholder has to, as an average, has to spend $1,200 a month at 6% interest to come up. So I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around all the seniors I know spending $1,200 a month locally, looking at my bills.
Really?
Looking at my bills as a single senior, I maybe spend $400 to $600 at the most in the grocery store, and I get computer service from Devron, and I buy very little at the hardware or any other store in town. So I have a hard time seeing that number and thinking that these seniors are each cardholder is spending $1,200 a month. And if they are, and you're making $40,000 a year, which is putting you above the poverty level, so then you're making about $3,333 a month. So if you're spending $1,200 a month in food and expenses locally, and then you're spending another, say, $1,200 for your utilities, your rent, whatever else you have to pay, even as a senior, even if you own your own home, you have upkeep, you don't usually have the ability to get on a ladder at 80 years old to do work, so you have to pay for your work to get done on your home. That brings you down to about $861 to spend on your medical travel that you have to make. Almost every senior I know goes south between 1 and 8 times a year for medical, whether because you can't get it locally. You can't get any geriatric care here locally. You can get some, but I mean, you need your heart looked at, you need to see a specialist, you need surgery. All my friends have had their hips, knees, and shoulders replaced now, or backs worked on, and so the majority of the people that I'm really advocating for, the majority of the people that are not in the poverty level and have Medicaid and assistance there, and they're not in the I can afford to not even buy a card, which is, I'm sure, some of those 816, you know, or the 339 left that don't have a card out of our seniors, just don't buy a card because they pay their taxes. And so, you know, but then you have your cars, you have your car insurance, you have your other needs coming out of maybe $800 a month. So, yeah, it's stressful for young people. I understand this, living in the same thing. But the big difference is when you're elderly and you have health issues, you don't have the option of taking another job. And your wages are frozen at when you retired, except for a 2% interest a year on most retirements. And Social Security goes up about 1 to 2, but your Part A, B goes up every year. So you're actually losing a little money every year on your Social Security because of Medicare Part A, B going up. So if you look at 10 years, wages increased 48.5% in 10 years. Minimum wage went up that much. Groceries went up at least over 36%. And most retirements went up 2%. So seniors are, with their dollar today, they're living on, especially if they're 85. I mean, I'm looking at mine at 10 years at almost 75. But if you're 85, you're frozen into wages 20 years ago, which were, you know, $7 an hour minimum wage. So it's just, I don't know if people stop and really realize until you get to be 65 and older how much being on a fixed income can affect you after 5 or 10 or 15 years, because everything else has gone up exponentially and your wage hasn't, your income has not. It's frozen with the small percent increase. So, I mean, those were just some of the things that, you know, I wanted to bring up. I wanted more talk to be an advocate for the middle of the road people here, because I know a lot of them have talked to me and they have issues, but a lot of people, I'm not even comfortable talking on the radio, and a lot of people are way less comfortable than me. So, you know, and then, you know, it would be interesting to have a study done. Glo said there has been a statewide study done, but I was never part of it. So it would be interesting to have a study done on seniors in this town on how many actually, what is your actual cost when you think you're living pretty well in your retirement, but you have to go south for medical 3 or 4 times a year. And how much that eats into your fixed income without any return. So, you know, I don't think it was ever meant to be an entitlement, which I guess it is, but it was never meant to be that. It was meant to honor seniors who lived and paid their taxes for 50 years and to make them more comfortable to be able to live in their homes. Now, I do think a lot of people take advantage of this, and I don't like to see that either. I think it would have been more palatable if the borough had come up with a proposal to just have groceries and maybe heating fuel exempt. Because like I said, I'm on the fence. I can go either way on this. I understand the young people are really struggling in this town too. I've got a granddaughter here, and it's really hard for them to make ends meet too. And it's just, you know, I guess it's hard for when you're younger to look at really how the elderly are living, because you don't really get it till you're there. And then it's harder for us sometimes to remember how the young people are, because we did have it different. We had our struggles too. Believe me, we did not have any of the assistance programs when I grew up here. You know, we didn't even have assistance programs at all. No scholarships, dance scholarships or anything. But, I think every generation struggles, but it is true that the cost of living in Petersburg is getting to the point where it's getting ridiculous for young people to try to buy a home. And so I do understand that, and I understand the need. I do wish the borough would show a little more where they're actually making cuts rather than just looking for more money. I think people would be more acceptable to the thought of paying their taxes if they could see where the borough was really tightening their straps. And I don't think that's really shown. And I'm not saying they're not doing it. They very well could be doing it. But I think it needs to be shown to the people when that's done. I think it needs to be shown when you're going without stuff that you need at the borough. And I think that does influence voters in this town.
Well, I really appreciate the three of us. You know, all of us were born mm-hmm. and raised here, all three mm-hmm. of us. Mm-hmm. We all kind of come from a different age bracket. I'm within, you know, I'm kind of cutting my own throat here, being within about a decade, 9 years from being at that golden age of 65. But so many things that Roxanne has brought up, I'd like to comment on the fact that you look at the young people, and I'm an advocate for the younger families here and people that are still working for a living. You know, you look at the retirement programs that were set up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that really have established a really nice retirement for these people that worked. The kids of today do not have anywhere close to the retirement of Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 programs that we had.
But that's just state workers.
It's across the board. It's across the board. And these employees, you know, these kids that don't have near what the future has. It looks like, you know, over two-thirds of the homeowners are based in the elderly. You know, that's the growth where that has this, what stayed stagnant are young people owning their homes. The elderly own most of the homes. They own most of the high-value property in our community and across the state of Alaska is owned by that senior group. And so I think it's really fair to look at making sure everybody puts their shoulder into the wheel. I think that, you know, there is a lot of research that's been done, and you have to take time to look at it and understand it. And Jody provided that on the website, and I hope people do. I hope people do take a look at those, because those numbers are real. And if we want this community to continue to grow and thrive and prosper, we have to look out for the school, and we have to look out for the younger people that are trying to get homes, and not add more burden to that demographic to shoulder the responsibilities. It really is very clear to me.
And with the aging population comes increased services that are needed. I pulled some statistics in 1980 when the senior exemption started. The number of EMS calls we had in Petersburg was 69 calls. Last year, it was 244 calls. So that's huge because volunteers take care of those. And in the last year, we've seen where the volunteers perhaps would like to receive a stipend, and probably rightly so, because they're being called out so much. But we can't afford to do that. I mean, it would be between $30,000 and $70,000, but we don't know where that income is going to come from right now, because we're using it for things such as the school. The school asked us for $200,000 more than we actually gave them this year, because we weren't able to meet that requirement. So we didn't fund to the cap. We wanted to, but the assembly had to make some hard choices. And to talk about our budget a little bit more, it is like a 6-month process. We start in December, the department heads, and they spend a lot of time on it. They meet with different departments, community members. It's due to the borough manager and myself in March. And we go over it. We talk with the assembly or the department heads about it, line item by line item. Then it goes to the assembly, and we have a work session. And I would like to say that our work sessions are put on the website, and there's a PowerPoint, and we go through it. A lot of the questions that people always have, they're actually addressed in those budget work sessions. And I would encourage anyone that has questions about our money goes to please, like, go on the borough's website. There is a lot of information there.
And
or email us.
It's easy to compare, you know, the last 30 years of budgets as well. They're paper cut. They're so easy to read. Our departments are very clear, concise. You can see the track record of how we've been able to keep up and really tightening our belt. I think, you know, I'm pretty proud of the fact that Petersburg's the only town that owns our own senior assisted living facility. And we've done that. We revere our elders. We love them so much that we have vans that drive around and give them they come down to the harbor regularly to see what's happening, and I think we do put our money where our mouth is, and just asking for those people to realize that they have the ability to help us solve some of the problem that we're experiencing, and it's only going to increase until I think the number is 2040 is when we will finally see that age group flattening out, so that otherwise it's growing, it's increasing, and where are we going to go from 25% plus to, you know, to more? It's just not sustainable.
Well, and our borough does subsidize the assisted living between $100,000 and $125,000 a year for about 20 to 24 residents. We also help Mountain View Food Services with meals. They used to only provide 3 meals a week, and now they provide 5. I think that started during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of worried about what grants are going to get cut from them. And if those get cut, they're going to be asking the borough for more money, just like perhaps KFSK as well, our local radio. If grants get cut, they come and ask the borough for these things. So we're just trying to be prepared as much as possible.
Can I comment a little bit here, since I'm kind of speaking for the elderly? It is a bigger burden on the community, our elder population, but it's also brought a lot of income into this community. All the jobs at the manor have brought income in. It's brought more money in. It supports our hospital, having an elderly population filling up long-term care. It does cost more money, but it also increases jobs and brings in money too. So I guess you can look at it, you know, on both sides.
But if we're subsidizing, then that's a net loss. You know, if we end up having to pay a couple hundred thousand
But they can go back to 3 meals a week if they have to.
Yeah.
Or they can go back to no meals a week. It's nice to have.
It's hundreds of thousands.
But it really only is a small group of people that use that service. It doesn't benefit the majority of the seniors. They can take advantage of it, but most of them don't, is what I'm saying.
I think a lot more do than they used to. I believe Angela Davis sent me some statistics at some point, where in 2014, they served 5,559 meals, and in fiscal year 24, they served 11,130 meals. And she also went on to say that when she started, there was 7 people who were eligible for home delivery, and now we have 165 individuals. That's huge. A lot of people at home that can't get out.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of callers who've been waiting so patiently. So I guess we'll start taking calls from the public. Let's see. All right. Caller on line one, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Yes, I've been on hold. I'm David Whitethorn. I'm a senior citizen. I've had a question. It seems like it's kind of been answered. I was wondering how many seniors, what percentage of seniors have filed for tax-exempt cards if we are at 25% of seniors living in this community, what percentage is buying tax cards and I believe you guys come up with a number of 300 and some.
No, 477.
Actually, we had four, as of yesterday, or I guess today, we had 486 cards.
Out of the 486 cards, how many of them are duplicated in one household?
That's a good question. I'll get back to you on that.
My question, too, would be how many are one card per household? I know a lot of people that just buy one because it's $100, you know, and that person is the one that is the purchasing.
That is correct. My household has two, and we don't use them all the time. We use them when we do make a big, large purchase of $400 worth of groceries. On a small purchase, it's not used. And I don't know if you guys have figured out the profit on the cards that are made. I believe it's approximately $60 a card. But when you cut the cards down, you're going to lose some income there also.
So, yes. Yeah, so the cards are $100 a card, and we roughly bring in about $45,000 in cards.
Correct. And so if you cut that down, you're going to lose some revenue there that you're going to have to make up someplace.
True. Yes.
So, yeah, that was my thoughts or concerns. What percentage of seniors are actually buying cards that live here? And I'm not sure who's figured out these medical trips and stuff. I didn't catch her name. But, yeah, as you get older, you're going to find out your travels between here and wherever.
Well, and the same thing could be, Ole, from, you know, I'm taking my kids up for pediatric dentist next week, and it's going to be a $10,000 trip by the time I get home after doing everything. So I think young people are also hit with the medical issues. They have to.
Yes, airfare out of here for medical is a big thing. And as you get older, it's, you don't go on vacation anymore. It's a medical trip. So you end up with 3 to 4 trips that you are unexpected and haven't really budgeted for that comes out of who knows where of them.
And I don't know that that is the responsibility of the younger people in Petersburg to shoulder. That's my argument, is that, yes, those I identify, I get it, I understand. But to place the burden on a certain group of people to foot the bill for all of it is where I just have a real lot of heartache over. I think, and I think that this is where the borough has come, you know, has met kind of in the middle. Let's look out for those seniors that really need help and assistance, and the rest of us that can support planned for the future and support can help the younger people in our community stick around. Because what's going to happen by 2040 is we're going to have a demographic that cannot sustain any of the benefits of just simple things that our community, government has to support. Things like roads and snow plowing and all of these things that we have to pay for. It doesn't matter if you're older or younger. You still need the streets plowed.
Oh, yes. And I feel bad for the young people, because right now, just rent alone plus your utilities is just astounding what it is in this community.
And I'm so glad to hear you say that, and to recognize for every older person that probably owns their own home There are younger people that don't own their own home, and they're paying mortgages, and they're paying boat payments, and they're making, you know, they're trying to save for college, and they're trying to put braces on their kid, and they're, you know, there are just costs to life. And please remember what it was like, you know, even for those of you that were born before 1962, and were everybody paid the same before 1980. And if you were paying a, you know, if you were living and raising a family before 1980, everybody contributed.
Yes, and I understand that. And like I say, the rent for young people and to be able to purchase a home in this community for young people is just almost impossible. And so without the young people here, who's going to support you? The old people got to support you. And but the old people can't afford to stay here either pretty quick.
I think you just talked yourself into voting. Thanks, Ole.
Hey, Ole, it's Rexanne, and I've got the answer you wanted on that. It's 14% of the elderly now have card holders based on the 477 cards. So that's 14% of the elderly population of the 24. So it's 14, not 24.
Yeah. But thank you guys for being there. I'll let you guys go. I'm sure somebody else has got a question that they would like to put forth. But I do believe our borough can cut some places that need to be cut and some places that shouldn't grow like they are growing.
We'd love to discuss those with you, Ole. Love to talk about that.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
And real quick, before we go to the next caller, I would just like to say that some of the seniors that don't get cards, I think it's because they don't qualify. We have a strict 1 year. You have to actually get the PFD. We have access to the PFD site. We can check to see if they've actually been approved for their permanent fund dividend, and if they haven't, why. And you know, because a lot of people, they'll come in like 2 months after moving here and be like, can I have a card? And it's like, no. Or they're snowbirds. We have a really high population of snowbirds in Petersburg compared to the rest of Alaska, which is also in that study that we referenced earlier. And I think if people just spend a little bit more than their 180 days out of town. So
yeah, the snowbird thing is, you know, kind of gets me too. It's, you know, people are happy to pay taxes in other places where they have a second home or live part of the year, because there are no other places that have these kind of, you know, benefits out of the state of Alaska.
All right, let's take our second call. Okay, caller on line two, can you hear us?
Yes, this is Sarah Holmgren. Some of my questions I have been answered, but I was curious, going to ask a question and also had a comment. Question on how many of our seniors, and maybe you said this earlier because I haven't been able to catch all of it, is our homeowners of that percentage of our 25% that are here in Petersburg. How many of them are homeowners? And then my other comment is, because we've had this increase in number of residents that are over 65 and actually a reduction in people under 65, you know, it's growing up here. I also grew up here where it was, you know, at one point in the late 90s, we had over 700 kids in the school district, and we're at, you know, 460-some kids in the school district. And so it's similar to school funding in that you are – everybody's looking for cuts, but the fact is you still have to have a building, you still have to operate, you still have to provide certain services, and if the actual volume of money is lower because the percentage of people paying into it has gone down, in this case, fewer residents being able to contributing to the overall budget, then cuts are not going to get you to where you want. It does become a revenue issue only because you have fewer people paying into that revenue stream. But I was kind of back to my original question, if someone could answer, if you have the data on how many are homeowners, because I want to remind listeners too, is that if you're a homeowner in the state of Alaska and it's your primary home and you're over 65, the first $150,000 of your valuation or your assessment is not taxed. And that is a state statute. It's not something the borough can change.
That's a great comment, Sarah, because that, again, falls to the burden of the young people in Petersburg to pick up. It's an unfunded mandate. We are not given the funds then to use for that $150,000.
And it is, in 2025, 377 people applied for the senior property tax exemption, and that equated to $534,000 of lost property tax revenue.
That goes right to the burden for the younger people.
I think the frustrating part for that is, as a community, and I don't think we'll get anywhere, especially with the current administration, but I have asked about that. How does that, you know, and it says in the statute that the state is supposed to reimburse municipalities if they have the funds. It's very, very uniquely crafted language, and I'm thinking it was early 80s. It was also during our heyday of oil, where the state was flush with money, which is when the senior tax exemption came out, when the real estate exemption came out, when the permanent fund came out. So all these entitlements or benefits that were unusual and unique to being in Alaska showed up when we were flush with money and had more to share, to be honest. And I don't think we're not in that position anymore, and I think that's been acknowledged. Regardless of how anybody votes, it sounds like everybody's in agreement that it's a different time, and it's 40 years later, and it was, you know, we used to have a school tax that was taken away also in the 80s when they were flush with money. Oh, we don't have to contribute it, you know, on a state, when we had a state sales or a state income tax, and we also taxed for schools. So it's maybe we're reinventing the wheel, or just making changes every 30 to 40 years based on what's going on. So
I think those are good comments, Sarah, and I do believe that, you know, though you want to think it's because we were being generous as a state to mm-hmm. these people, I think it more had to do with the reality of the loss of income. We did a study here in Petersburg of the financial picture of Petersburg. It's probably been about 15 years old, but it came across as 53% of our economic base came from government, whether it was state, local, federal government. The next one, of course, was fishing related at 21%. And right behind it, which was an eye-opener to me, was elderly income, retirements that are here in our community. And that was a Petersburg-based thing. So, yes, it was a very strategic thing by the state legislature to implement some of these benefits to increase that group of people, because until the 70s, until the mid-70s, Alaska per capita was the youngest state in the union, meaning that we had more younger people. I think the demographic was 24. That was our average age of 24.
Oh, wow.
The age of Alaskans was 24. And so there was discussion about, with this population that would be growing older, how do we keep them here? So I think it was very conscientious, and we like to think of it, oh, it was just a benefit that we want to, but I think in reality it was a way to increase that group to stay here, because that retirement income, when it leaves the state, it's not taxed. You know, a state worker mm-hmm. retires and leaves, we don't have a state income tax. So that money goes away when they leave. Whereas if mm-hmm. they stay here, that money is then generated around. So I believe that there was some real thought put into this.
Yeah, I agree, Glo, totally on that. I guess the only comment I have on that is a lot of these elderly people who are in their homes bought their homes for under $100,000 20 to 30 years. 40, 50, 60 years ago, and now they're worth $500,000 to $800,000. And even with $150,000 deductible on their taxes, the taxes they're paying is still extra, you know, really high, and their income is fixed from 20 years ago. So you do have to look at that part of it.
Sure, too. And I think there's a real personal responsibility for people to put their money where their mouth is. If they own their home and they have enjoyed living here in Petersburg, maybe to not go for the biggest bang. Try to sell it to somebody for a reasonable price.
What if you rather want to live in your house?
Sure, sure.
Oh, you mean you're talking about people selling their homes.
Yeah, that are selling.
Yes,
that's what drives that up.
I agree.
It's because of these sales that are going up that are driving this the price tag up. And I think there's that, too. That's an ongoing conversation.
It's our lack of housing, too.
For sure.
Yeah, we're talking about expert.
Type in as a realtor.
You can go again, Sarah, if you're interested, looking at that Alaska Economic Trend magazine. On page 8, it talks about mortgages and how much income seniors spend on housing. And two-thirds of seniors own no longer have mortgages to pay. That's a big thing when you look at the younger people that are faced with 30, 40, 50-year mortgages. You know, I remember my parents having a 15-year mortgage. That's unheard of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So I'm going to hang up and just listen. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
And we have another caller if we're ready for some rapid fire.
Okay.
Caller on line 1, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Is that me?
I believe so. Who's this we're speaking with?
Hey there. This is Leah calling. I just had a couple of questions that I was curious for some clarification. The comment was made that with the revenue lost from the cards, that would have to be made up some way. But I guess maybe this is geared towards Jody. Isn't it true that with the revenue gained, it would far exceed the loss from the $100 card?
Yes, and we took that under consideration when we started talking about additional revenue. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted that to be clarified because it seems like kind of a minimal amount compared to actually what would be gained. And then I was also curious, this was for Rex, I just was wondering about earlier on you were saying the $1,200 a month that seniors probably don't spend. And there's a few of us that weren't quite catching what that was in comparison to. Was that in regards to the $100 being spent for the card, or what were you comparing that value to?
No, what I did is I took the amount of taxes that they said were lost, the $400,000, divided it up, and then that came to $838 a year, and that came to $70 a month. And for $70 a month in taxes, you would have had to spend $1,200 that month in order to pay $70 in taxes. So that means all those 477 cardholders are spending at least $1,200 a month. And I just had a hard time wrapping my head around elderly people spending that much here in town in a month when we normally eat a lot less. We don't have families to feed. And we don't usually buy that much stuff once you get to be 65, 70 years old. You don't go shopping downtown that often. So it's just, I guess that number threw me a little bit, and I needed some clarification on it.
And that's about it for me. Did that get clarified? I guess I would throw that back at Jody. I'm curious to hear about that because I feel like what I'm hearing is really the number pieces right now are throwing people off and trying to make sense of that. So just hoping maybe that can get reiterated.
So when
I'm gonna hang up. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. When businesses file their tax return each month, they actually tell the borough how much they how much was exempt for seniors, how much was exempt for nonprofit, how much was exempt for resale, and we track all that. And the total we came up with last fiscal year was over $7 million in sales. And you times that by 6% and ended up being the $445,000 for seniors. So that's how we came with that number. And I'm sure I'm sure some seniors spend a lot more money than that, and some do not. You know, it all, you can't just, you know, divide it by the number of
a lot more than that
seniors. But, yeah,
you don't have everything though, like we do when we're over 65.
So I hope that helped.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess just to reiterate the bullet points, if voters pass this proposition, it would generate an estimate of between like $350,000, $400,000,
yes,
dollars for the borough, because the borough, like that's how much the borough has calculated the loss, the loss of revenue from the senior sales tax exemption. And then limiting this to low-income seniors, that would be kind of defined by that State of Alaska Senior Benefits Payment Program. So it's for an individual, about $34,000 annual income, or $46,000 for married couples. And there's about 60 seniors in Petersburg currently qualify for that. So yeah, if voters pass this, it would generate that $350,000, $400,000 figure. And yeah, I guess, are there other resources to help? One other question that we've been getting a lot is for folks with like extenuating circumstances, folks who are just above that cutoff threshold of low income, middle income folks who still feel they rely on this senior sales tax exemption somewhat. So are there any exceptions that can be made? And are there any other resources to help folks who might be relying on that right now, but if they aren't able to rely on it later, where else can they turn during times like this when everything is getting more and more expensive?
Well, I think the state, you know, you talk about, you know, there's varying degrees of that. So, you know, you can, I think there are three different levels. So you look at that, you know, there are some qualifying programs for people that don't meet that poverty line. Also, you look at things like Hammer and Weekon and Trading Union that have such a generous heart in giving the elderly, you know, Tuesday
10%.
Don't they? Well, they, you know, those are some pretty nice, you know, generous offers from local businesses that look out for our seniors. And PIA does such a great job with their community van and
Mountain View Food Service. And if this went through, your prescription drugs would still be exempt for sales tax for everybody, your medical, dental, and vet services, utilities.
There are just really a lot of programs that are in.
No, not your heating fuel.
Not your heating fuel,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah. And that's where your $1,200 is probably.
Could be.
You know, that's a lot of it's
could
coming
be.
From that as well. So I think it's understandable. But I do want to just, you know, make sure that, you know, people, I mean, Petersburg is very generous and we love our elders. And we're just asking for those that can help contribute to, you know, add their support to the community that we all love.
Jody, anything to add about alternatives or other resources, I should say?
I don't think so.
Okay. We have a couple more callers who just called in, so I guess we'll go for them. And we only have a handful of minutes left, but we want to make sure everybody gets the chance. All right, caller on line one. Can you hear us?
I'm not sure who's line one, but this is Diane.
Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, we're elderly couple who are on the cusp, I guess, and we get that card that gives us that little boost. And we use that card. My husband uses it to, it gives us an incentive. We probably spend a lot more than we would without it. So I thought, you know, that's something to think about in the course of examining some of these things. And it has often made a difference for us on whether we purchase something or not.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Is there sort of a question that we can help find an answer for?
No, just something for them to gnaw on, I guess, mm-hmm. because it's been quite a discussion and very informative. And it's difficult. We all want to do our part, but, you know, some of us have really contributed a lot in our lifetimes to our state and to our community, and we're not snowbirds.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, originally this was, this was available to people that, had lived and worked here for 30 plus years. It was based on that, you know, pioneer idea, but that's been challenged in court. So I know a lot of people that maybe didn't necessarily work here and raise children that do qualify for these benefits. And so there's that side of it as well.
But they paid it in the town they did live in for all those years.
But those people are...
And made those sacrifices for them.
But, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Diane, for that perspective.
Oh, thank you. Right. Thank you for having the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have one last caller. This will be our last caller of the show. just looking at the clock. Okay.
Hello?
Caller on line 2, you're on the air.
Hello, is that me?
Yep. Who is this we're speaking with?
This is Joe Bertagnoli.
Hi, Joe.
And this was good having this time. I appreciate you guys talking. That was very good. But I got a couple comments and a question. I agree with Rex on the fixed income thing. Once you're on a fixed income here, as we are, it gives you nowhere to go, you know. And we're not going to go back out and work at 70. And it's just it's. And some people that are doing these might not qualify under the state's guidelines, but yet they're still at that lower level. I'd like to know, you know, why it was come about. I know it was what the reasoning was, and is it a ease of bookkeeping why we went with that state income level? We all know that $46,000 for a couple, if you got expenses and everything in this town, is not going to get you very far. So I just wonder why we never looked at maybe locally bringing that number up above that, you know, maybe like closer to 60 or 70,000 before you didn't qualify for a card. And that's good and well, but, you know, some people just don't do that. And Rex is right that it's probably she doesn't spend that much. She's single, but we're a couple. We have family, so we have a lot of dinners. So spending $1,200 a month just at the grocery store is not out of this question. And I guess I hear that, you know, you say Juneau and another town does not have sales tax on groceries. Why couldn't we pull groceries and fuel, food and fuel, the two Fs, out of this equation? And that would make this way more palatable for a lot of seniors, I'm sure.
So
that's where the majority of our funds go.
Thanks, Joe. And, in 2014, there was a proposition to limit senior sales tax cards of food and fuel. It failed 754 votes to 253. Right. And maybe that would be different now. That's 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 11 years ago.
I remember having that. I remember being here at KFSK talking about it then and begging
so
people.
Do I.
Last year we begged people mm-hmm. to raise the threshold for the tax exempt for
What was the last vote we had on this?
The last vote was in 2018. It failed 777 to 295 to repeal the senior sales tax exemption and provide mm-hmm. an annual rebate to low income seniors. $300 for a single person and $50, or it must be $500 for a married couple.
That's really heartbreaking.
I remember that proposition, Jody. I do remember that. Yeah, and that was disappointing that didn't pass that time.
I thought that was close.
I mean, if it was cool, I mean, there's nothing for, even with that 10%, which is gracious of Hammer and Weekend to do that, you know, if we go up there on what we call Old Fart Tuesday, it's like, we're still spending $200 plus a week between Lou and I up the store, and that's it's just the price of groceries. It's just what the cost of living is to do here. And it's just hard when you're on a fixed income. We just don't go back out and work, you know. And I agree with Rex too. You know, we're on that income when we retired, and that does not go up but 2-3%. We're not getting an annual raise or anything like that, like a lot of working families. And I agree, the small, you know, the younger folks do have a little bit of struggle, but it's just part of living in Petersburg, I think, is that we got to deal with it, you know, and it's hard. As I've heard several times, you know, if I had unlimited funds or millions of dollars, I could see putting my shoulder to the wheel and just nixing all this. But
you're transferring that burden to the younger people, to your kids, because those costs are not going away. It's not like just that because you turn 65, these costs of mm-hmm. plowing streets and all of the things that go into it go away. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is you're directly transferring it to the younger generation, that we're single moms, we're people that we don't have the ability mm-hmm. to go out and get another job. Our retirement, Joe, you're probably tier two. Your retirements are based on a far healthier economy than what is today's job.
I was fortunate, and you're fortunate to be a tier one, tier two, whatever. But we're not. There's a lot of people here that are retired on lower incomes that are just on Social Security that might be over that 35 mm-hmm. or 46,000 as a couple, yeah. and they're just barely making it.
As are the young people, transfer the burden to them is where I have the difficulty. It is because that's what you're voting to is transfer the responsibility to a younger group. That end of story. That's what you're doing.
Well, you're not voting to transfer. You're voting to put more burden on the seniors is what you're doing.
No, you're voting to transfer.
The vote is to vote to get rid of it. So you're voting to put it onto the seniors.
You're voting to support young families.
Or to put more on the seniors.
Fun fact, in 1980, I'm just going to break up this conversation.
Yeah, good, good.
In 1980, the city council at the time voted, I believe, by resolution just to do this. It didn't take a vote of the public. Now, in our charter, it says that any change in exemption must be voted on by everyone. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we are here now. Yeah. And it's harder. It's harder to get everyone educated to make a vote, you know.
If this does pass, which I hope it doesn't, you know, you're never going to get it back on the ballot to, you know, let's say, well, this is kind of doing wrong. Let's just exempt food now. It'll never pass then once it gets, you know, once you pass something in this direction, it's not going back. You don't go backwards.
Well, we've asked multiple times for it to become, maybe more responsible, and that's failed. It's failed. So, you know, it's once again, I hope people live up to the, I hope they prove me wrong. I hope that people vote this down.
Yeah, I hope the opposite. I think it's been alluded to on by some callers too. You probably, you know, you're going to still get the burden of it because you're going to get some seniors that are going to move out of town, the ones that can't afford it. The ones that don't have a million in the bank and that can, you know, doesn't affect them. Although if they have a million in the bank, they shouldn't be applying for a damn card anyway. Oops, sorry.
Oh. Well, Joe, any final thoughts before we wrap up? Because we are over time.
No, I appreciate your time again, folks. That was a good call-in.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. And as we are wrapping up, I will reiterate so last year's seniors tax-exempt sales costed the borough hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost tax revenue. And as Petersburg's population ages, the tax base shrinks, which is what you were talking about. And so the last kind of question I have for Jody, at least, is what would the long-term financial health of the borough look like if the exemption stays versus like stays as is versus changing it to just low-income seniors?
Well, if it stays as is, we are going to have to make some tougher decisions. I mean, as I said before, this year we cut the funding for the school $150,000, $200,000. We're going to have to look at doing that more. We are also going to run out of National Forest receipts money that we had saved away in a matter of 3 years. And then we will run out of general fund reserves as of 2031 is what is projected if we want to keep funding the school as much as we have, as well as other services. I mean, we're going to need to look at the assisted living facility. Again, it's, you know, and what we're subsidizing and things like that. You know, the biggest expenses for the general fund are personnel. And so we would have to look at cutting jobs.
Okay. Thank you, Jody, for all of that information. And thank you, Glow and Rex, for being here as well. That is all the time we have today for today's Borough Business. Thanks for joining me. And yeah, that wraps up our discussion on Petersburg's ballot proposition to limit the seniors' sales tax exemption to low-income residents. At the end of the day, this decision is in the hands of Petersburg voters. Early voting starts Wednesday, and our local election day for Petersburg is October 7th. So for more information, you can check it out on the borough's website and our website, kfsk.org. The borough assembly meeting will air here on KFSK later today at 6 p.m. It is currently 1:41 in the afternoon, and next we'll have Street Beat with Isaiah Bone Carlin. But first, some jazz.